Holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word that sustains us, that speaks to us the truth. Your word that is just as fresh today as it was when it was first uttered. Give us ears to hear and hearts and minds to understand. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As most of you know, last August, the last week of August, my wife Barbara and I went to Tennessee to go through the accumulation of her parents' years of marriage that had been stored in three storage units. We spent 4 days with her brother going through box after box, deciding what to keep and who would keep it, what to donate, and what to pitch. Needless to say, we filled a number of garbage bags. And some things were easy. Either Barbara or her brother wanted it. Some things were more difficult in that neither one of them really wanted it, but it was of a nature that it just didn't feel right throwing it away or donating it. Such as their mom's artwork. She was an artist in her paintings and drawings. We just didn't feel right throwing it away. And going through all of our parents' stuff and deciding what gets passed on and what doesn't is a rite of passage for most people. And then our children or someone either in the family or out of the family will decide what happens to our things when we are gone. And I think this idea of keeping things and passing them on has something to say about us. We find security in things, in money, in certain feelings, in relationships. And in some cases, the relationships and the things or feelings go together because they remind us of those relationships. I remember a number of years ago when my mother-in-law moved from Omaha, Nebraska to Tennessee, Barbara and I flew out to Omaha to help her go through stuff and to decide what to take and what she could get rid of or donate. And my mother-in-law had a very good memory about who gave her the stuff that she had. And if she could remember who gave it to her, she couldn't get rid of it. So that was a lot of the stuff that we were going through this time in Tennessee. I have the stuff we got from my mother because it reminds me of Mom and Dad or my grandparents. And there's this feeling that if I let go of that stuff, somehow I feel like I'm letting go of the relationship. Which is not right, but it's the feeling that is in us. The truth is, stuff represents something to us. It always has and it always will. But I would also add that holding on to this stuff hurts us. Even though we may feel good about it, it hurts us in the end. It can get in the way of relationships, even our relationship with God. The rich young man was intent on keeping his stuff, his possessions. And in doing so, he missed out on a relationship with Jesus and the people around him. They're surrounded by people in need, Jesus and the rich man, when they're talking. But the rich man doesn't see them. Think about it. If he had seen them, he could have shared some of his stuff and enjoyed a wonderful relationship with them. He could have experienced their gratitude and their friendship. But it's not just about stuff. I'm reminded of C.S. Lewis's great book called The Great Divorce. In the book, some people from the great town arrive at the edge of paradise in a bus, where they are met by spirits who knew them in their earthly lives. And these spirits have come to greet them and encourage them to go towards the majestic mountains where God and the spirits dwell. But to do so, they all have to give up something. One spirit is met by a man that he knew on earth. From the great town. The ghost from the great town was met by a spirit who the ghost from the great town knew had killed somebody in his earthly life. And he could not let go of the idea that God would accept a person who killed somebody in their earthly life into heaven. There's a spirit trying to convince the ghost of a famous artist to remain in the valley and go to heaven. And the artist arrogantly refuses, claiming he can't stand to live in a place without personal property where his painting won't be appreciated. There's a female ghost who complains so much about her husband that she eventually disappears entirely and is consumed by pettiness and fussiness. Another female ghost, Pam, argues with the spirit of her brother, Reginald, about her love for her dead child, Michael. Pam claims to love Michael so much that she couldn't love anyone else during her lifetime. Reginald argues that Pam must surrender her love for Michael in order to love God completely. And afterwards, Pam will be reunited with Michael in heaven forever. But Pam refuses to give up her love for her son and love God more, claiming that Reginald is being cruel. There's another ghost that carries a tiny lizard on its shoulder. And MacDonald, who is the spirit who has come to meet and talk with the narrator and convince him to come, says that the lizard is lust. Freeing the ghost from an earth. Well, reluctantly, the ghost allows an angel to crush the lizard, freeing the ghost from his burden to sexual desire. And to the narrator's amazement, the lizard transforms into a beautiful horse who gallops away with the ghost, now a newborn man, toward the mountains. MacDonald explains that by surrendering our earthly desire, even for our loved ones, humans can become more beautiful, more powerful, and more loving than they ever thought possible. We have to be willing to let go. Let go of our things, our feelings, that get in the way of us loving God. That doesn't mean we lose those things. Doesn't mean we lose those relationships, but it puts them in their proper place below God. Today, the words of Jesus and the writer of Hebrews calls us to be aware of how we are using our possessions, our feelings, our relationships. They have been entrusted to us. How are we using them? And today's reading reminds us that we are accountable for how we use the prosperity that is given to us. What do we really need? What can we give up in order to be closer to God? I think that's a question that we need to ask over and over and over in our lives. There's a wonderful story that I shared a number of years ago with you. It's true. It's a true story that happened in the mid-1990s. It's the story of Osceola McCarty of Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Osceola McCarty was one of those rare individuals who subverted social expectations and disciplined her desires. After dropping out of school in the sixth grade, for the next 78 years, she washed and ironed the dirty laundry of white people. She never left home, where she was raised. She never married. She never had children. She never drove. Her TV only got one channel, but that didn't matter because she rarely watched it. Late in the life, she bought a window air conditioner, but she only used it when guests visited. And she always lived alone after her aunt died 1967. On July 26, 1995, when she was 87, McCarty gave $150,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi to endow scholarships for black students. 30 years earlier, the University of Southern Mississippi didn't even admit black students. She says, I would go to school and come home and iron. I'd put the money away and save it. When I got enough, I went to the First Mississippi Bank and put it in. The teller told me it would be best to put it in a savings account. I didn't know. I just kept on saving. After her aunt died in 1967, she made a plan to give away her life savings, and she contacted an attorney and then went to the bank. An official laid out 10 dimes on a table. And he said, I want you to put how many dimes on these pieces of paper with names that you want to give to people on. How many dimes you want them to get. And she placed 3 dimes on her cousin's name, 1 dime on the name of her Friendship Baptist Church, and placed 6 on the University of Southern Mississippi. She said, I live where I want to live. And I live the way I want to live. I don't drive a car, so I don't need one. I'm too old to go to college. So I plan to do this. I plan myself, she told the New York Times. Well, I figured out. 6 dimes was worth $150,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi. So that meant her church got $25,000. And that means her cousin got $75,000. All told, it equaled $250,000 from doing white people's laundry. She knew how she wanted to live her life, what she needed. What do we need? What can we give up? And it's a question to ask about the stuff and the feelings of our lives. And we need to ask it. More and more people are hoarding and paying to keep stuff in storage units because they cannot bear the thought of giving it up. I remember a long time ago, I heard somebody say to me, Tom, if you've got a box of stuff that you haven't looked in for 3 years, get rid of it. Don't even look at it. Because if you haven't looked in it for 3 years, you don't need what's in it. And they're right. What good is it doing me sitting in a box? What's wrong with that picture? Don't let your money, don't let your feelings about other people keep you from serving God. And God's children. So, my friends, what can you give up? Amen.